All right, welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. It is a pouring rain in downtown St. Louis right now. I don't know what it's like in your neck of the woods, but we're hoping this kind of moves through and we get a little break at some point today. But not a great way for you to start off your morning drive. Sue Thomas will have the latest on that for you coming up here. As issues develop, we'll be sure and let you know about that. Glad to have Kim St. Ange back with us this week. How are you?
I'm great. Rested. I feel, yes, very rested, and it was just great family time. We got to do things we had been wanting to do all summer, but
nice.
We were just busy, so it was a great week off.
Ethan is in for Carl Middleman, who went to, who did he go see last night? Pitbull last night, right?
Pitbull. You know you're getting old when? Well, maybe that's not it. Maybe it's just the fact that you like Sammy Hagar.
Yeah, I do. Sammy Hagar, not Pitbull.
That's like when you say the Facebook, the Twitter.
Walmart.
Carl just knew in advance he would need the day off to recover, so he's wisely scheduled today off. The problem is we've got this new board in here, and Ethan's been a little nervous about it this morning, but you're doing a great job, my friend.
Thank you. I think that's why Carl took it off. He knew
He knew. Yeah, no, he asked
a while back.
We'll
give him grief tomorrow.
He asked a while back. All right, we're going to get to a lot of our stories here. Jesse Jane Duff coming up with more on President Trump's announcement that if indeed he was to actually have this election stolen from him, would he run again? He announced that yesterday, so we'll get to that with Jesse Jane. Tom Ackerman at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk about the Cardinals' attendance this year and the 18 or 19-year record that they snapped. This year. That's coming up about 8:35. But first, we'll get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Is it terrorism?
I don't think there's any question that it's a form of terrorism.
Yeah, that's Leon Panetta accusing Israel of committing terrorism against terrorists.
So I want to thank you all for being here. And now, who am I introducing next? Who's next?
No idea. He had no idea where he was yesterday. Two world leaders on the stage with him, and somebody had to jump in and introduce them for him. Ouch.
And then, if you're not successful this time, do you see yourself running again in 4 years?
No, I don't.
Wow, there he was with Cheryl Atkinson doing that interview yesterday, and we'll get the reaction from Jesse Jane Duff on that one coming up.
Kamala Harris has never run a lemonade stand. She's actually never run a business. Donald Trump has.
Joe Concha on Fox this weekend, you know, making the argument you're about to put somebody in charge of the country who doesn't understand basic economics. Probably the biggest thing she's ever run is her attorney general's office out there in the state of California, the crazy state of California. On top of all that, is she ready for it? I don't know. I tell you what, I'm going to get to a phone call here. I got Walt hanging on line one, who's been hanging on for a while. And Walt, thanks for your time this morning. What's on your mind?
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, do you remember in the run-up to the last presidential election, Trump said that if Biden gets into office, the stock market will crash like 1929?
I remember similar comments to that. I don't know if that's specifically what he said, but yeah, I remember him saying that.
Yeah, that's aged pretty well, huh?
What you're talking about, the fact that the market is at record highs today?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not.
But you know what's not at a record high?
Let me guess.
Trump's
inflation.
Trump's greatest grift ever. Trump Media Group. I wonder how many of those MAGA morons that listen to your show are holding
MAGA
worthless shares.
Morons. Of what? Truth Social?
Trump Media Group, yeah.
Yeah.
It's only down 80% this year. Is that his greatest grift ever?
Oh, I don't know. Probably, you know, ripping people off at schools that he was running, and, you know, his bankruptcies at the Atlantic City casinos. Those might have been his greatest grifts ever, don't you think, Walt?
Those are up there along with Trump University and other heinous things that he's done. But I think Trump media group really is the greatest grift.
That,
and you know he's got to be, he's chomping at the bit now that he can unload those shares.
For some more grift. Yeah, I think you're right. I'm done with Trump anti-Trump trolls this morning, calling my listeners morons. We just went through the worst 3.5 years of inflation that we've seen in 40 years. Prices on everything are up 25%. Inflation still moving forward, still adding to that number every year, just at a lower rate because the Fed has manipulated the market. That's the only reason. I don't want to hear this nonsense. We dumped needless billions and trillions of dollars into the economy. And yeah, a lot of that money went into stocks and into the stock market, but it didn't help the average consumer. It didn't help the very people that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris claim to be the only ones out there fighting for. If they get their way, your taxes in the middle class are going up because they're going to let the Trump tax cuts, which you give him no credit for, Walt, they're going to let those expire.
Maybe he's part of White Dudes for Harris.
I'm thinking maybe that very well could be. Walt is living over in Ladue as part of White Dudes for Harris.
Well, maybe just so you know, Walt, if you're still listening, they're working on a vaccine for Trump derangement syndrome because I think you have a bad case of it. And I do hear this latest strain is very contagious.
It must be.
Be careful. Wear a mask in the car if you're driving by yourself. It could spread to other people even if you're walking outside by yourself and you're 100 yards away. Trump derangement syndrome could spread. It's airborne.
It is real, all of you MAGA morons out there. Just so you know that. Whatever you feel when you go to the grocery store is not real. You're just imagining that.
You're a moron if you can't see that the economy was better under Trump, that crime was better under Trump, the border was far more controlled. I just posted about that to social media, talking about how in 2012 I voted for Barack Obama, 2016 I voted for Hillary Clinton, 2020 voted for Trump, and I will proudly vote for Trump again in 2024.
Absolutely. It's not a prom king and queen popularity contest. It's who's going to get the job done. Kamala Harris is not up to the task, folks. Not in any way, shape, or form. Coming up, we'll get to Jesse Jane Duff and then Tom Ackerman at the bottom of the hour. Good thing there's no baseball today. Of course, there won't be any baseball in October either in St. Louis. And the attendance this year was down fairly significantly. They broke a record they broke their own attendance record this year in terms of the number of years they'd had at least, 3 million, I think. They didn't make it this year for the first time in a long time. We'll get to Tom Ackerman on that at about 8:35. We'll be right back.
Make America great again.
I am hard, but I am fair.
Good morning, motivator.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
Take the hill. We got a long week.
Jesse Jane Duff, that was adorable when Donald Trump brought the grandkids onto the stage this weekend.
Yeah, it was. I mean, your heart just melts. It's hard to believe Mark Cox used to be that little and that cute, too.
I know. It was a long, long time ago.
Vote for Grandpa.
In a land far, far away. Vote for Grandpa, yes. Jake says. Or Luke, I think his name is Luke.
He did
a great job. I'm watching this and I'm thinking, it's hard to believe that a week ago, you and I were talking about the second assassination attempt on Donald Trump. And here we are a week out. We've had two of them now, and it's pretty much disappeared from the mainstream media.
Right. And, I just want to remind all Americans there's a reason they don't want to have this man back in the White House. And why is that? Because they have become, the Biden-Harris administration is the epitome of the deep state. Joe Biden and his family profited off of a foreign adversaries to the tune of, several million dollars from 2015 to 2018. There has been no repercussions for that. 12 family members have actually had the money filtered to them through all of these various various LLCs, these ghost LLCs that perform no service.
Right.
You've got Kamala Harris that has promoted getting rid of your guns, making sure that we enable Iran to attack Israel because they've sent billions of dollars over there. We have the Ukrainian-Russian front that has come to no peace agreement, no resolution, no steps forward. There was a time we actually thought that would end abruptly, and here we are well into their administration, 3 years of conflict almost now. We have nothing but chaos at the borders, and Donald Trump would solve all of that because we didn't have any of that during his administration. Crime itself, you look at the crime data that's actually come out. So the FBI numbers that the ABC was trying to quote were actually not accurate because Chicago, Los Angeles, and New York City hadn't done their reporting, the hotbeds of crime.
Right.
Crime is over 40, 50, 60%, depending upon what type of crime you're talking about. And rapes, murders, astronomical numbers. And yet, Donald Trump did not have any of that during his administration. That deep state, it wants to hang on to power and profit off of the American taxpayers as Joe Biden and Kamala Harris plans on doing herself.
I saw Kamala Harris is skipping the Al Smith dinner. And instead, she does all these fluffy things like, and I know that's a lighthearted dinner, but you know, where they can roast each other. But instead, she goes on Oprah. And I don't know if you caught any of that, if you even want to call it an interview, but how ridiculous was that? And in her response to some of these questions.
Yeah, even in a safe environment, she is incapable of giving coherent answers to her policies, what she wants. She has the same exact canned answer when asked, how are you going to fix the economy? It starts with, I grew up in a middle-class family.
Yeah.
That's how she starts it. And yet she grew up in an academic family. She tries to make it sound like she's one of us. She was in Palo Alto. She was in Berkeley. She was in Canada. Her mother and father never ran short on money. They make it seem like they were one of us struggling and dealing with grocery prices every day. Instead, they had a very pristine life compared to most Americans. She cannot relate to one of us, let alone has never been one of us. And then when she gets in front of Oprah, she hasn't even had an answer prepared for her to talk about the economic revival.
Right.
You would have thought she would have canned or prepared by now.
I honestly, looking at Oprah, knowing that she at one point in her life had been a journalist, would have, I have to think she's looking at her thinking, come on, woman, I've just put my name on the line for you and you can't answer a simple question.
You're talking about aspirations and optimism and hope and dreams over and over again.
Right. And I would just think that Oprah even prepared her with, I'm going to ask about the economy. I'm going to ask about gun rights. I'm going to ask about all of these things. And what does she do? She says, I have a gun and I'll shoot somebody if they come in the house. Well, can you explain why you've allowed so many illegals over our borders that are shooting Americans and killing Americans and raping Americans? You know, we don't care. You know, obviously you have enough security around your house. Nobody's going to have to walk into it. You are so disenfranchised. You think you can placate shooters and gun owners that you own a gun? You own a water pistol, lady, because I dare to say you don't even know how to shoot a 9mm pistol. You don't even understand what the difference between a Glock is and a Beretta. You don't even know what an M14 is. I'm sorry, you have no concept of weapons. I mean, I can dare to say I could teach her a little bit on this topic, but her advocacy trying to placate voters is just insulting. And don't even get me started on abortion. She seems to treat it like teeth cleaning. Ladies, every 6 months, we got to go in and get one of these. You know, she seems to think that this is a medical urgency for all American women, while insulting their intelligence about everything else that is crippling and handicapping their family.
Jesse Jane, I'm out of time, unfortunately. Thank you, though.
You always are. You always are. Okay, take the hill, motivators. It's going to be a long week. I'm in the swamp right now. Wish me luck.
Be safe. All right, Jesse Jane Duff there. JesseJaneDuff.com. If you want to find out more about her, follow her on X as well. Back with Tom Ackerman after the break.
Great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's, reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
What was that?
What are you smiling about,
I said
Kim?
I love coffee.
I know that.
Great. I need coffee today.
Tom Ackerman in the house this morning.
What's
up?
You
know, the Tigers and the Chiefs have a lot in common. They like to barely win games.
Yeah, well, the Chiefs are playing in the NFL. The Tigers are playing Vanderbilt. That was rough. I talked to Eli Drinkwitz yesterday. I love him. He comes on the show and he goes, you know, Tom, he's got that twang. He's like, you ever watch Gladiator?
Yeah.
Where he says, are you not entertained? He's like, I'm just trying to entertain everybody.
Yeah.
And then he said, it's like the Buffalo Wild Wings commercial. We're just trying to keep it going a little longer. He was trying to make light of it. He said, look, we're 4-0. You know, I mean, you survive and you win the game. No matter how you win it, we're a tough team. We're resilient. We're just trying to win football games. And now they're 4-0, and I give them credit for that. They have been good enough to overcome their mistakes. I will say that because they haven't been great, but they beat Boston College and Vanderbilt, two teams that have these mobile quarterbacks. If you watch those games, those quarterbacks are hard to bring down. They're very hard to understand. That quarterback for Vanderbilt is good. I mean, they're going to win some games. They already did. They beat Virginia Tech. That said, Missouri's a much better team than Vanderbilt and should handle them. The kicker missed three kicks in the regular portion of the game and then came through in double overtime, and Vanderbilt's kicker hooked his, and the game is over. But they win. You know, they won the game. Now, this bye week could not come at a better time for Missouri. I worried about Missouri in some of these games. Boston College in particular, I thought they'd handle Vanderbilt, and they did not. Now they get a bye week. Get healthy. Take a break. Take a breath. You get 2 weeks to prepare for Texas A&M and try to figure out how to get this machine rolling, because Missouri's offense is explosive. I think what probably upsets them the most is they get the ball at midfield a lot, and they're not able to punch it in. You know, and they ended up missing three field goals. They kind of stall out. They got to figure out how to get that thing rolling a little bit. The other thing that Drinkwitz said to me is that Brady Cook, he thinks, is putting too much on himself. He didn't love the comments that Brady had after the game, where he said he was disappointed in his performance, blah, blah, blah. He said he's going to set aside some time to talk to Brady and say, you know, don't listen to all that outside expectation and noise about what you're supposed to be. You know, we're trying to win football games here, and I need you to be leader of this team. And, you know, don't get down on yourself. He also assured me that Brady is 100% healthy.
Okay.
So he said any narrative out there that he's playing hurt or something like that is wrong. I'll tell you that right now on KMOX. He's 100% healthy. I'm like, okay. So, I mean, it's a good football team that could be a lot better.
Yeah.
For the Chiefs, I mean, They win. They're 3-0, and they always find ways to get it done. They amaze me. They really do.
But was it a? Did I see? Said the headline on Bleacher Report or something said, Chiefs win on a no call or something. It was that close at the end. I didn't see the end of the game.
All their stuff is like that.
Yeah, I know.
Seems like, but
bad call, yeah, no call.
But
whatever.
You know, the NFL always seems to come down to one call, one play, whatever. But they're 3-0, and you know they're going to be in the hunt all year. The NFL is pretty wide open. You just never know from 1 week to the next what you're going to get. The Dallas Cowboys are a disaster, and the Baltimore Ravens, best 0-2 team I ever saw, they came in and absolutely drilled the Cowboys yesterday, a team to be reckoned with. I think everybody thinks they know who the best team in the NFL is, and they won't be correct. by week 4, 5, and 6, those teams start to develop.
What do you think of the way that it played out at Busch Stadium with the Cardinals? Because I don't think anyone's surprised that they're not making it into the playoffs, but to have it officially happen.
Yeah, it's always emotional to walk out of there, Kim. I love the place so much. It's so close to my heart. And it's not just the team. It's all the people who work there, you know, all the ushers that you get to know through the year. Mm-hmm. And everybody puts so much into the game day, including all those fans. And I love the fans so much, and whether they are at the ballpark or not. You know, a lot of fans didn't go to the games at all this year. I talked to a lot of people who are like, I've been to one game.
Wow.
And that's, you know, look, they're still fans. They're still paying attention, but they're also sending a message that they want change. I think I told you early in the year on this show that as the team was constructed, I didn't feel like they were a World Series contender, but I thought they were good enough to win the division. As it turned out, they weren't good enough to do that, and the Brewers just put the pedal down and did their job. And the Cardinals did not. It comes down to this one simple thing. The Cardinals could not hit. Their best players could not hit. Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, Wilson Contreras gets hurt. Jordan Walker takes a step back. Now he had a nice finish to the year. Nolan Gorman takes a step back. You can't survive if all those players are not hitting. Those are all your big sluggers. So they have to figure out a way to get more offense. They are going to change. John Mozeliak told me flat out yesterday on KMOX. He said it will be a busy October as we look to reset our front office.
Wow.
I mean, there that you doesn't
yeah,
tell
I was
you.
Say, what does
so
that exactly mean?
What does
mean?
That mean? Yeah. I said, well, what does that mean? And, you know, so I said, are you ready to reveal what your succession plan is? Because he is, his contract expires in 25. So who's going to replace him? He said he's not ready to reveal that yet, but he is going to sit down with all the media and explain that, I think, fairly soon.
I hear it's Tom Ackerman. The name's been floated. Because he explains that baseball is not a difficult sport.
It is not a difficult sport to understand. It is very difficult to execute. You have to reach out to my agent about that.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Have your people call my people kind of thing.
I'll consider that the front office.
You got to figure out a way. Tom, you got to figure out a way to put butts in the seats because they broke their, 18-year string of $3 million?
Well, it comes down to that. Yeah. Win.
You got to win.
If you win, they will show. And if you don't, and I think the other thing is this. I think they do need to be upfront and transparent with their fan base and let their fan base know that they matter and that they are in on it together. You know, the fans want to know that they're part of this and that they are also a part of the growth, that they are being told what is happening. What is the plan? What are we doing with our team? The fans are in on it. You know,
right.
They're investors too. They spend money, so they want to feel like they're included in all of this. And I think the Cardinals will be more upfront and transparent and communicative with the fan base. So I think that's a big part of it. But quite honestly, Mark, you need stars. But you also need to draft and develop players to become stars. And that's what the Cardinals are lacking in both areas. Goldschmidt and Arenado. Arenado will be back, but he's on the downside of his career. He's not the killer at the plate he once was. Still a great fielder. Goldschmidt is on the back end of his career. Might not be back at all. He's going to be a free agent. They're in an interesting situation because they need to grow young players, and they're probably going to sell us on that, that this is a young core that's coming. But they still need to be able to be in contention and win.
Right.
And they're being pushed. Wilson Contreras jumped out yesterday, told reporters, if I'm this front office, I'm hungry to own this division. And he basically nudged them to make moves. Arenado did the same thing. Like, oh, okay. So the players are talking now. I mean, it's a very interesting situation they have found themselves in. And as Bernie Miklas told me yesterday, this is the most important offseason the Cardinals have had since probably 1995.
Wow.
When the ownership took over and they hired Tony La Russa and, you know, reestablished who they were.
Gotta
so
get it
it's
done.
Important.
You got to run, buddy?
I do.
All right. Thank you.
See you guys.
Good explanation. Appreciate that.
Hope you get more coffee, Tom.
Coffee's delicious. I feel great, actually. Yeah. All right. Bye.
All right.
Bye.
See you. Appreciate that. That's good. Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be it's going to be expensive. Right?
Yeah.
You got to get it done, but
the changes have to be made.
It's not going to be cheap, and Shohei Ohtani is locked up for a long time. So
what
you're
what is
have
his
to
contract
for,
worth again?
I forget how many hundreds of millions of dollars.
It's like $700 million.
Ridiculous.
Or something.
It's ridiculous.
And most of it's, you know, on the back end, but still that dude is a great baseball player. There just aren't many out there like him yet, and they're going to have to pay to find one if they can find one. And it was great to see Jordan Walker kind of step it up near the end of the season for sure. By the way, coming up here in just a couple minutes, I mentioned this once earlier in the show. I'm going to mention it one more time, just one more time. You are running out of time if you want to get some of your money back from the city earnings tax. The deadline is the 30th of this month. I'm going to talk more about how you do that when we come back in just a minute. Stay tuned.
It's never too early to learn that the government is a greedy piglet that suckles on a taxpayer's teat until they have sore-chapped nipples.
Yep. Ron Swanson, very, very correct there, for sure. I just want to mention that your time is running out if you want to claim your earnings tax refund. Now, we were only out of the studio for about 3 months, Kim, in 2020. The company ran us out, and the city encouraged everybody to close their offices. So they did down here at Intercom, and they made us broadcast remotely. They had one engineer in here in the studio to make sure things feeds were coming in, but Tricia and Denise and I were all in separate locations, and all the other shows pretty much did the same thing. And then after about 3 months, they agreed to let the morning show come back in. So I filled out my form, and you can go, you can just Google St. Louis earnings tax refund. That's probably the best way to do it. But if you go to the National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org, you can find the details on claiming the St. Louis earnings tax refund. The deadline is the 30th. So that's coming up. You've got 7 days to get this done. It's really easy. All you have to do is get a copy of your W-2 from whatever year you're dealing with. And now, a buddy of mine, get this. He didn't tell me how much money he's getting. I'd be interested to know. I may have to ask him. But he is getting refunds. He said he dropped off his paperwork at City Hall on the 10th of September and got his 2021 and 22 checks all back on Saturday. He said he was shocked that they turned it around that quickly. But he got his refund pretty quickly. He got it for 3 years because he was out a portion of all three of those years.
I bet that was a lot of money.
Significant, yeah, it's significant. Now, mine's only 63 days or something like that I determined we were actually out of the office. But, you know, that's paying the utility bill or something. I mean, it won't be the huge amount of money, but it's my money. I want it back.
Right. I don't know why you would.
Why would you?
Why the city? It was Tashara Jones who was like, just let us keep it. You know, we could use it for city projects.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's pretty easy to do. I would encourage you to go on there and fill it out. I mean, it's just they explain each line that you have to fill in. You put the calendar year down. You print your address in there where you want the check mailed. And they apparently are processing these pretty quickly. I can't imagine, because I know there are a lot of people that were sent home for a year or more, how much money this is going to end up costing the city. But hey, you know what? It's your tax money. If you don't claim it, that's on you.
I agree. Why would you not?
Why would you not get your tax money? You would never consider not getting your money back from the federal government if they owed you a refund. The city of St. Louis owes you a refund if you worked remotely at all during COVID. So I'm going to encourage you to get out there and take advantage of that. By the way, a little heads up, before the end of the week, so on the 24th, I think tomorrow is when you can first vote absentee with an excuse in the state of Missouri. I am working on the voter guide. It's going to mainly focus on the amendments, the initiative petition amendments. There are five of them statewide that you, in addition to no on three, that's an easy one. No on three, no on three, no on three. I'll explain all the others so you know what you're voting on, sports betting and all that, when you walk into the booth. I'm hoping to have that out in the next couple days. So wish me luck. Maybe on a nice rainy Monday I'll work on that. There we go. All right. Have a great day. Kilmeade's up next, then Annie and Mark a little bit later today. We'll see you back here Tuesday morning at 5 a.m.